Hello and welcome to Telling Tinder Tales, the show where people, well, if comedians are people, they are today comedians, tell us some interesting dating stories with me, Chris O'Neill.
And me, Thompson Lockwood.
Today we have three guests, Anya, Brian and Patrick, all of whom happen to be from the United States. Say hello.
Hi guys.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me on.
Great to have you here.
Coming up on today's show.
Older women, they definitely have more experience. Yeah, I can say that for sure.
My red flag started when he was taking his assistant like on business trips with him, not me.
I don't even say anything. I just unmatch her immediately. I'm like, nope, not dealing with this. I don't want anything to do with this. I owe her nothing. I don't care.
I hope we can get through the show today without any shots being fired. So, Thomason, have you ever dated anyone or considered dating anyone from America?
I have dated an American. Only three dates. He was a rock climber. He was very intense. He was like a spoken word poet. And on our third, I don't know if you can really call it a date, but basically we were both out at separate parties and he was like, oh, I'm going to like go on to this other party. Do you want to like join up and we'll go together? And I was like, great. So I met him. And I hadn't been drinking at my party, so I was stone cold sober and I met him in King's Cross. And as soon as I saw him, I knew this guy was flying. Okay. He was off his face and he saw me and I don't know why he did this. I'm wondering maybe actually, did he just like forget my name momentarily? Because he like yelled out in the station. Have you ever been to King's Cross station? It's pretty big, you know? He went, hey, baby. And I was really embarrassed, but my way of coping with that was to embarrass him back. I went, hey, daddy. But he got really mad at me and he was like, oh, we got a lot to unpack there. And I'm so sorry, by the way, for doing the accent. But that was my experience with dating someone in America. What about you, Chris? Would you ever date anyone from the States?
No. I have very strong self-preservation tendencies and I tend to think of Americans as being heavily armed and dangerous. I suppose I better go to one of the people I've just offended and try and get them to tell us a story. Brian, what's your story on Tinder Tales and what would you like to tell us about and where are you calling in from?
So I'm calling in from New York, New York City, Queens to be specific. So this is the closest thing I've ever had to being stalked. Son of a bitch. Sorry, that's my buzzer. Shut up. Okay, here's the thing about living in, I don't know if this is a thing. You guys are all based in Dublin, right? Is that true?
No.
So what, where are you guys based in?
Yeah, I don't know where you're getting Dublin from. Chris isn't even Irish. Chris is in, and I'm sorry, Chris, I am going to absolutely butcher this. He's about 20 miles from Dublin. He's in Nass?
Nays,
of course. And I'm in North London, the joys of remote working. Or recording even. Is this work? This is fun. It's really fun. Can you tell?
No, what I'm saying is like sometimes, I don't know if this is the case in other places, but in the city, you know,
I think you should get it.
You get that. No, I won't because it's just some dude trying to get in and steal packages.
Maybe,
I don't want that.
Maybe he's got a story to tell.
I assure you he doesn't. I assure you.
He does, but it involves drugs. Methamphetamine,
it's
probably.
It's either that or he's an Amazon employee.
It's your Tinder date.
God damn. I wish.
More like Grindr, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I live around the corner from a gay bar, and if I go there when I'm like, I don't want to pay for drinks tonight. Let's just go. It's true. You want a heavy pour? You go to Icon.
Okay, I'm going to make a strategic suggestion, right?
Yeah.
We're going to put Brian on mute, right? Let's get going. This is turning to shit.
This is the best podcast I've ever been on. What are you talking about?
Clearly. That doesn't mean it's not going to shit. Listen, I think we're going to go to Patrick and see if anyone interrupts him, buzzers or any other way.
My name is Patrick. I'm calling in from Brooklyn, New York, but I'm originally from the great state of Texas in Southern America. Very proud of Texas. And my Tinder tale is actually about a time I briefly dated a woman that was much older than me. In fact, she was 18 years older than me. And she was a high school art teacher. And our favorite activity we would do is I would go over to her house. We would take 5 milligram weed gummies, and then we would listen to jazz music and do these weird like Buddhist meditation line drawing kind of things that are it's supposed to be a meditation where you just like follow the maze with your marker. And I would just play with her cat, and she also introduced me to like my first ever I guess you would call like bisexual experience in life. Oh. Where she brought in like a former lover of hers who is a man from Long Island who he works in manholes for a living, but now is starting to explore manholes. And we definitely had a jazzy time together. I don't know if I would return to that, but it was a short-lived experience, about 4 months. But, you know, older women, they definitely have more experience. I can say that for sure. That's my tale.
Excellent. Okay, the first question I have to ask is, she was 18 years older than you.
Yes.
What age were you?
I was 25 at the time.
Oh, thank God.
That's a relief.
Yeah, it wasn't my actual teacher in school. It wasn't like that some
was
a, weird...
I was legal. Just thinking we're going to have to... bring this to the attention of the authorities and somebody may lose their teaching license in America. And I'm desperate for publicity for this podcast, but being actually party to a criminal prosecution, not on the list. Okay. So, Thomason, have you any questions for this young man? I emphasize the term young.
Yes. Great story, Patrick. I'm bisexual as well. Never have I heard experimenting with my same gender as being described as a jazzy time. That was wonderful description. My question is, because I'm really not clued in with weed and that, when you say five mil weed gummies, what?
5 milligrams. So it's a pretty low dose, but enough for you to definitely like get in somewhat of an altered state. But it felt like it was a ritual we did whenever we'd meet up together. She would just like give me one of those gummies.
Oh.
I do rather worry about the fact that your favorite activity when meeting a woman 18 years older than you was taking gummies. Was it not sex?
No. What was surprising about that relationship is that it wasn't, even though we had some sexual experimentation, I'd say the majority of times I spent time with her, there was no like, there's nothing physical about it. We would literally just hang out together in her living room. It was definitely strange.
I also really like that one of the perks was playing with her cat. It's just very wholesome.
Yes. Yes, and not a euphemism, like an actual cat.
What was its name?
I don't remember the cat's name. I remember it was something very whimsical, though. Like, it made sense given the cat's personality.
Aha, that's very reassuring. Anya, have you any input into this story?
Well, I'm interested how it's ended.
It fizzled out. Like, I think it was something where, like, I reached out to hang out one time, and then she's like, no, I'm not feeling so well. And I reached out, like, a week later, and I was like, no, I'm really busy. And it just kind of, whew.
I see. Okay. Brian, have you any particular question you'd like to ask Patrick?
I'm offended that you don't remember the name of the cat. That's the most important part of the story, dude. Like, I'm a cat person. I remember every cat I've ever met in my entire life, right? It's a lot of Chloes. People are not creative with their cat names. It's a lot of Chloes, but I remember them all, okay? So that's really the part I'm most disappointed in you, Patrick.
I'm good with cat faces, not the cat names.
Okay. I'll accept that. Doing the bisexual experimentation, that awakened something in you? Or you were just like, cool, I did that. I'm going to move on with my life now.
It actually didn't confirm anything for me, actually. And I really haven't done that much experimentation with men since then, but I certainly am glad I felt safe enough with this person that I allowed that experience to happen. I feel like that couldn't have happened with just anybody I met on a dating app. So I think she created like a vibe and atmosphere that made me feel like, oh, okay, I'd be up for this. Whereas like if someone else had asked me to do that, I might have said no.
I actually wrote a book about basically anecdotes of the bisexual and bicurious. And I found that a lot of bisexual men really, really struggle to explore that part of their sexuality, because so much was tied to, you know, their masculinity or self-worth. So yeah, thank you. Let's see how the theme fits with our next story. Anya, when you're ready, tell us where you're calling from and tell us your tale.
Sure. I live in California, Los Angeles, originally from Russia. And my tale is, when I just moved to the States a few years in, I got on Tinder and I met with a guy who was, but I would say also 18, 19 years older than me. And it started beautifully. He introduced me to his brother and his family, like 3 weeks into dating. And I was like blown away. He was very charming. And then some things are getting off, like we stopped having sex. He stopped being affectionate. He just was like taking me to places, to business meetings so I can like hold on to the conversation. And then I started slowly realize like, okay, it might be another woman in his life or something else. Until one day it became very clear that he is in relationship with his male assistant, a guy who works for him. And he's probably full on gay. And he just needed me as a cover for his social life because he was afraid of coming out as a gay person or bisexual. So, and yeah, that's my Tinder tale. So just watch out for gays in the closet.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Watch out indeed. Wow. That is a theme, huh? The older bisexual. My question is, how did you discover that he was with his assistant?
Well, I feel like women, we do know, but I was just in denial for a long time. I didn't want to believe it. Not long time, but a couple of months. But then I just, it was a Thanksgiving Day dinner and we had his family over. And his assistant, he just, 50-year-old man, he just threw a tantrum like a girlfriend would throw a tantrum when she's upset. Like not something that employee would do. And then I was like, oh, it's not just like, it's they have a relationship. Like he was basically cheating on him with me because that guy went on a full exposure as a 15-year-old teenage girl. And then it was a moment of realization for me. I'm like, oh, that's real. I'm not imagining it.
Mm, wow. Okay. And Chris, do you have any comments or questions?
Did you end it there and then, more or less? Or was that the end of it? Or did it linger for a while?
It lingered a little bit. Maybe I saw him once or twice after. But I was I was young. I was in my 20s. And I was just like shocked and felt used. And I kind of distanced myself. And he got the vibe. So it kind of like just faded out. But it was really painful for me. Like I went through like self-esteem issues and stuff like that. And like it was, but then I realized it's not my fault. I just, you know, I just fall into the category of a girl he can date and take as a cover up, you know?
Mm. I think that's a journey so many women in their 20s have to go through. Maybe not with an 18-year-old man with a 50-year-old assistant who happens to be his lover having a strop at Thanksgiving, but the theme is relatable.
Yeah.
But I'd love to open up the floor to our other guest today. Patrick, did you have any questions for our Anya here?
Yeah, Anya, I'm kind of curious because I think now in the world, age gap relationships are more normalized or you see more of it. In fact, right now I'm actually seeing someone that's 10 years older than me. But that doesn't feel weird to me in the way that I might have thought it was weird to me growing up. Do you feel like given the experiences you've had, what do you think about just age gap relationships in general?
You know, it's interesting because when I was I'm in my 30s now, but when I was in my 20s, I was dating guys who are older. I was interested in them more, right? Because it seemed like more experienced. But now for me, experience is like, oh, just more baggage. And so, you know, I'm like, I was right. I'm sorry to say it. I have my own baggage at this point. My baggage is enough. So I prefer nowadays, but I think it is normal. Love is love. I've seen couples that anything. I have girlfriends who are married guys who are 10 years younger or men who are 10 years older. I feel like everything is possible. And if two people want to make it work, they will make it work. But like I said, like I prefer now, yeah, guys around my age or like no more than 10 years older. I feel like this is like, because I want to have a family, I want to have children. So I want to experience it together. So this became a priority. I'm not saying even with men who's 20 years old, it's still possible, but I just want to have it like a full life together and a family.
Very good. Brian, have you anything to, that you'd like to ask Anya?
Yeah, I think I misheard it. Did you say that you guys were both 18, 19, or did you say he was 18 years older than
18 years older.
Oh, that's very different then, because I thought you were both about the same age, and I was like, why is this 19-year-old taking her to business meetings and have an assistant? What young prince is she going out with that, like, has, like, his own, like, you know, corporation? Like, Jesus.
That would be even more fun.
Yeah, I'm like, that's like, I'm like, all right, I mean, at that point, you can make that work. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if he's that rich already, Jesus Christ.
Just pay Mel, be his girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, give him my number. I'll be his boyfriend. I don't care. I mean, so that changes things a little bit. The interesting question is, like, did you notice anything was up before he started getting distant? Like, because I feel like if he was gay, I feel like that was something that you would have noticed early on, you know?
I did notice sexually, but I was so young again, so I felt like sometimes he would have to use Viagra, and I was like, oh, maybe it's age, you know, but he wasn't that old. But I was still like, I was, remember asking my girlfriends who are older than me, like who married guys who are older, I'm like, do you guys use Viagra and stuff? And it's like, no, we're fine. I was like, well, maybe he has health issues and stuff, you know? So, but now I know, like, he's not even bisexual. He's probably gay, but he just, yeah, he needed Viagra to have sex with me.
I have another question. Did you and the assistant ever interact directly? And if so, what was that like?
He tried to avoid it anytime. Like, I would, because I'm a friendly person, right? If I see somebody in the house, I will try to make a connection. Mm. But he would do everything possible to avoid us speaking directly. Like, I knew his name, I knew he's around, but he would do everything possible just like to separate us or just to send him somewhere so like we would not speak, which was also a huge red flag.
Hmm. Did you just think like, oh, he's a really bad assistant? Or were you like, like, yeah, but it's interesting. You say at the top, like, we know, like, I knew because women, we know. Like, were you just kind of in denial or like, I don't know. It's really interesting.
Well, my first thought was like, oh, maybe he's dating a few girls at the same time and he is old, right? And older. And that's why he needs Viagra. But then I was like, well, something is off. And it took for me a little bit. My red flag started when he was taking his assistant like on business trips with him, not me. And he was, and he would find random excuses. And I felt like, I feel like deep inside I knew, but I was even afraid to tell my girlfriends because I knew they would point it out and then it would become obvious, you know? So I was like, I was so in denial. I was like, I don't even want to look at it. But at some point you're like, you have to address it. You have
oh my God. You know? I feel like every person dating in their 20s has been in that relationship where they're like, man, it's weird. But if I tell other people it's weird, they'll point it out that it's weird and I don't want it to be weird. Like, you took your assistant to Bora Bora.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, we have one more guest to chat to. Brian, what's your story?
Earlier, if maybe this won't get into the show, but we were having issues where my buzzer kept going off, so we had to bump me down the lineup. It has not gone off once since we bumped me down. So I swear to God, if some delivery guy comes in right now, I'm going to be mad. Okay, so far, so good. Anyway, so this is a Tinder story from a few years ago. This is the closest thing I've ever been to being stalked. And I say closest as in it really isn't, but it's like the closest thing. So this is about 2018 or so. This was peak lonely early 20s Brian. I had been just gone through a breakup. I was not in a good place at all. So I was just swiping to everybody on Tinder, which is not good. Don't do that if you're a guy listening to this. Don't swipe right to everyone. Be picky. Know what you want and don't be afraid to go for it, okay? Some little advice from Brian over here, okay? So anyway, so I matched with this girl and I can tell immediately that I'm not that into her. I'm like, all right, whatever. She had a very distinct smile that like looked a little unsettling, like already, like it was just very like, and she had very bright red lipstick on in all of her pictures. And she even had her Instagram in her bio. It was something like the girl with the red lipstick or something like that was like her Instagram name. So that was a big part of her identity, I could tell. So she messages me first and I can tell, like, I'm not that interested, but I'm like, all right, I'll humor her. We'll go back and forth a little bit. So we talk for like an hour or two on Tinder and she starts making arrangements for us to meet up, like before I've even agreed to doing anything. And I'm like, whoa, 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 hold on. I didn't agree to that part yet. Luckily I had an excuse. It like 2 days after that, I was going to be going away for a few months. I was going to be working at a summer camp in Connecticut away from where I was living on Long Island at the time. So I was going to be away. So I genuinely couldn't do anything. So I was like, hey, I can't. I'm going to be away. But hey, maybe we can get together afterwards or something like that, you know, just to kind of like humor her a little bit. So she agrees to that. We stop messaging. And then if you hear that, that is my heater. I swear to God, every noise, I know you hear that hissing sound. It sounds like the fucking Chamber of Secrets right now. I know, it's my heater.
We're good.
I know what it is. And I need it because it's very cold in here, I know. This is an old pre-war building, okay? Which war? I don't know. It could be 50 years old. It could be 2 years old. I don't know. So anyway, so I go to the summer camp. We don't talk at all the whole time. I'm there for about 2.5 months. I'm working there. It's great. And I don't know if people remember this. Tinder used to have like a, I don't know if it still does. I haven't been on Tinder in years, but it had like a feed section, like where if somebody you matched with updated a picture or their bio, you would get a feed that would tell you that, which is a really stupid feature because if you go a week without talking to someone on Tinder, it's over. Why would I need a reminder that somebody got a better picture? You know what I mean? It's like, what's the point of that? So I posted a picture of myself. I put a new picture of myself on my Tinder. It was me at the camp. They had like a little farm at this camp, and it was me with a goat. It was adorable. I was holding a little baby goat. It was very adorable, and that got me way more matches immediately after. I was like, this is putting in work. So you can comment on a feed change on Tinder at the time. You could do that. So this girl, months after we had spoken, she wrote on the thing, she wrote, it seems I've been forgotten about.
Oh.
That's what she wrote. I'm like, girl, we haven't spoken in months. And this is the point where like her like weird smile was starting to get, I'm like, oh, she's like misery. That's what this is. She literally looked like Kathy Bates with better makeup. So I'm like, I'm not dealing with this. So I don't even say anything. I just unmatch her immediately. I'm like, nope, not dealing with this. I don't want anything to do with this. I owe her nothing. I don't care. Months later go by, like months. This was August of 2018 or so, give or take. So probably like early 2019, like, you know, February, March or something. I get a Facebook friend request from this girl. Like which is crazy because I did not give her my last name. She didn't know my name. She had no idea. So she somehow months later found me on Facebook, either through like looking through stuff or like mutuals or whatever, and decided friend requesting the guy who unmatched her would be a good idea. So I was like, what do I do with this? Like, how do I approach this? Like, I don't know what to deal with this. And all my friends were like, block her. Like, that's it. Just do that. The block feature is there for a reason. Like, I'm a dude that people don't pay attention to a lot. I've never had to block somebody on social media. It's not a feature I've had to know the ins and outs of, right? So I'm like, okay, cool. I blocked her. And then before I did, I realized that she had, we had mutual friends. Like, you know, being a stand-up comedian, I had comedian friends in the scene on Long Island that we were mutual friends with. So now every day I'm like, am I going to go to, like, some event, like some half music, half comedy events, and she's just there with, like applying lipstick on her face, like, just waiting for me to be like, I heard, why didn't you respond to my Tinder message? You know, like, so nothing's happened since then. That is my story. The unmatch and block buttons are your friend.
Well, excellent. I wonder, have you told anybody about the merits of using the goat rather than the fish on Tinder? I think that's the less...
What?
Oh, apparently it's a big thing on Tinder that men, for reasons I don't understand, appear with a fish in their hands, right?
Oh,
which
no.
I've never understood the attraction of. I mean, fish smell after a relatively short period of time, whereas a goat, on the other hand, I think you could possibly have a business opportunity there of bringing out young, small goats.
I did have the idea for a while. I never did it, but I wanted to, like, get a boat and, like, go out to, like, the water somewhere and then pose, but, like, the same way dudes do a fish, but instead of, like, a full fish, it was just, like, a goldfish cracker.
Oh, cute. Creative.
Right, okay.
I never actually did it, but I was like, that would be fun.
Thomason, what have you got to say to this young man?
Well, great story. Great story, Brian. Well, you know, my first thought is you were kind of going in hard about this girl wearing red lipstick, and I would just like to point out for the listeners that I am wearing red lipstick.
Okay, no, but, like, it was a lot. Like, I'm not trying to, like, say lipstick is bad. What I'm saying is it was, like, every single pic, like, it was very clearly a part of her identity, okay. Where I'm like, okay, this is a lot.
Because honestly, my first thought was, what's wrong with that? But then you told the rest of the story, and I was like, oh, no.
No, you pull it off well. I mean, I can't see you, but I'm sure you pull it off well. But, like, you know.
Wow, you were so close.
Like, I that's why I prefaced with, it's the closest thing I've been to being stalked, to make sure it's not like, it's just like, this girl was wearing lipstick. It's like, no, there was stuff.
No,
to
there
this.
Definitely was. There definitely was. I guess my question is, Chris, you kind of took my goat question that I had. If you were to like cast people in a movie version of this, would it be Kathy Bates with red lipstick, and who would you cast as yourself?
Well, this girl was in her early 20s, so Kathy Bates might not fit that at this point. For myself, I get a lot of Adam Devine, so that's who I'm going with. That's my celebrity lookalike, especially when I grow my hair out. I look like that guy. Yeah, probably, or I don't know, Tom Holland, if we're going with celebrities for me. You know, just any white guy who's under 5'9", that works.
But I love truly. That you know that he's short.
Google says he's 5'6.5". I think he added the half. I know the struggle.
Well, I'd love to open the questions up. Anya, do you have anything for Brian?
Sure. I'm just curious, like, have you been curious, like, what happened to her? Why she became this way?
No.
Just terrified.
I'm going to let her live her life and do her thing, and that's it. And I'm just going to make sure I don't become a famous author that I could potentially get, you know, my car stuck in a snowstorm, and then she has to take me into her home. I'm just going to make sure that... I'm currently reading The Shining, by the way, so I'm on a Stephen King kick, so that's why that was on the mind.
Fair enough.
And Patrick?
Yeah, I'm curious, what would you say to this person if you did see them in person? Like, how would you respond to the situation? Would you just self-eject, or would you try to, like, end it all? Just go up and be like, hey, like, this weird stuff's happening, like, please, I don't feel this way? Or how would you handle that if you did at a comedy show and she was there?
Oh, God, that's tough. Because, like, it's first of all, it's been a few years, so I would hope that she has moved on. I would hope. And also, I would assume if she was doing that to me, I'm not the only person she's coming on that strong to, I would assume. But I don't know. Like, if I ran into her at this point, I would, if I was at a show or something and I saw she was in the room, I would stay as far away as possible and avoid. But if she came up and directly came up to me, I would probably just try to diffuse everything as much as possible. Like, she'd just be like, hi, and I'd be like, hi, and just give nothing, you know, like. I'm very good at doing that in situations where I don't want to talk to someone, so I would hope that would just carry me through to victory at the end. The victory being, I get to move on with my life.
I presume the worst case scenario is you walk on stage and she's sitting in the front row.
Oh, God, yeah. Because then she'd heckle, and I'm like, I don't like doing crowd work. I don't want to do that.
Worst case scenario is she doesn't heckle, she just stares.
Oh, God.
Just...
Actually, that is worse. That is much
just
worse.
Reapplying just that red lipstick over and over.
Yeah. Well, she also just had very intense eyes. Like, I can't really show it visually because the video is in here, but, like, it's just like they were very wide and very, like, oh, boy. No.
It's when
no,
you can see the whites of the eyes above the pupil. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's... Yeah.
There's a lot going on in those eyes.
For the listener at home, I should point out that our producer is being immensely disruptive and is now flashing her whites of her eyes. So, Thomason, have we any more questions for these nice people, or do you think we should be winding up?
I think it's time to wrap up. I think our lessons today is, you know, experimenting with bisexuals, with older people, and avoiding red lipstick. I think those are some great, great lessons that I certainly will be taking forward. Right, before we wrap up, Patrick, would you have anything you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, if you're interested in checking out my comedy, you can look up Patrick Golden Comedy on Instagram. And stay warm.
Excellent. Anya?
Yes, please check me out on Instagram. It's Anya_Zoba.
Lovely. How do you spell Zoba, just to be clear?
Z-O-V-A.
Perfect. And Brian?
Yeah, so you can follow me on social medias at Brian Bucci, B-R-I-B-O-O-C-H-Y. It's exactly the same on Instagram, TikTok, and Blue Sky now. I've done nothing on Blue Sky, but, you know, I mean, maybe we'll see. I post a lot of comedy clips, crowd work stuff. I'm trying to do some sketch work and then some food videos, too. I like to just cook and put a weird voiceover over it. So if you like that, you know, check that out.
I think it's very brave of Brian to suggest that anybody follow him in the context of the story he just told. But that's up to him, really, isn't it?
Listen, I am still first and foremost very in need of attention. So I'm okay with that.
Fair enough. Okay, well, folks, you've been listening to Telling Tinder Tales. I hope you've enjoyed it. This is associated with the live show that appears at various festivals, and hopefully you'll come along and see them at those various festivals. Thomason, have you anything else you want to say before we say goodbye to these people?
Yes, thank you so much for listening. Please do give us a review and a follow. As a small and growing podcast, it really does make a difference. So please give us a follow. Leave us 5 stars. If you want to leave us anything less than that, I'm going to come to your house and put on some red lipstick and make you very uncomfortable. But yeah, I think it's goodbye from all of us here today. Thank you for listening.
Bye, folks.
Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Brian, say goodbye.
Say goodbye to Aunt Maureen, Brian. What do you say? Say goodbye. Give your Aunt Maureen a kiss. I'm like, I don't wanna. She's weird. Yeah. She's got red lipstick on. I don't want to.
Anyway, go on.
Mm-hmm.
Telling Tinder Tales is hosted and produced by me, Chris O'Neill, and Thomason Lockwood. Produced and edited by Lucy Regan, with music by Kinkas Morera. It's a Jester's Comedy Dublin production and is no way affiliated with or endorsed by Tinder. If you have a story to tell, please get in touch. Details are in the show notes. And if you like us, instead of swiping right, follow us on Instagram and or TikTok at Telling Tinder Tales.